إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبعد then to continue after a long break with Al-Aqid al-Tahawiyya the creed compiled by Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi rahimahullah with the explanation of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan hafidhahullah then we reached point number 168 out of the 228 points in the book we reached point number 168, alhamdulillah. So with this point, Abu Ja'far, rahimahullah, he begins a new matter and says, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِالْكِرَامِ الْكَاتِبِينَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ جَعَلَهُمْ عَلَيْنَا حَافِذِينَ And we have iman in the angels who are the noble scribes, the kiram al-katibin. We have iman in the angels who are the noble scribes. Since Allah has appointed them as guardians over us. So here, Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he begins a point with regard to the angels. And he already dealt, if we remember, with something from the affair of the angels in point number 122. Where he mentioned, and we have iman in the angels and the prophets. And we had the explanation of that point before. But here in this point, he deals with some angels who have specified duties. So saying, and we have iman in the noble scribes, those angels who are the noble scribes. Since Allah has appointed them as guardians over us. With regard to this point, Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, says in explanation, Iman, true faith in the angels, in the malaika, alayhim as-salam, is one of the pillars of Iman. Having Iman in the angels is one of the arkan, one of the pillars of Iman. And these fundamentals are present in the Qur'an. I mean these fundamental principles of Iman. The six fundamental principles of Iman, as mentioned in the Hadith of Jibreel, they are found mentioned in the Qur'an. Then he gives the evidence. The first ayah, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين The ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 177, with the explanation, rather righteousness, al-birr, righteousness is the righteousness of one who has iman in Allah, and in the last day, and in the angels, and in the books, and in the prophets. So this ayah, the Shaykh is mentioning, it mentions from the fundamental, six fundamental principles of iman, it mentions iman in Allah, iman in the last day, iman in the angels, iman in the books, and iman in the prophets. It mentions five of those fundamentals. Then he mentions a further ayah as proof of that. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله. Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 285. The ayah before the end, the ayah before the last ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, with the explanation, the messenger has iman in everything sent down to him from his Lord, as do the believers. Each of them has iman, each of them truly believes, has true faith in Allah and his angels and his books and his messengers. In other words, both of these ayahs mention iman, and amongst what they mention from the fundamentals of iman is having iman in the angels. Both ayahs mention iman in the angels. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so we have iman in the angels, in the malaika, and that they are created beings from the creation of Allah, and that they are from the alimul ghaib. They are from the world of the hidden and unseen. Those things that the alimul ghaib, those things that are hidden and unseen, kept hidden and unseen to us. We do not see them. Allah created them from light. And then in a footnote, they mention evidence for this, that the angels were created from light. They mention the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that she said, Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خلقت الملائكة من نور وخلق الجان من مارج من نار وخلق آدم مما وصف لكم. The saying of Aisha radiallahu anha, that Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the angels were created from light, and the jinn were created from smokeless flame of fire, and Adam was created from what has been described to you. The hadith reported by Muslim. In other words, that Adam alayhi salam was created, as is mentioned in the clear ayahs, Adam was created from teen, from clay. Then with regard to the text, so Shaykh al-Fawzan has mentioned the point that we don't see the angels, they're part of the hidden and unseen, we don't see them, and Allah created them from light. Then he said, and they have been entrusted with duties which they implement and which they establish, each one having a duty which he has been entrusted with. Each angel, meaning each angel, has been given a specific task. And along with that, then they worship Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, and do not slacken. Along each angel who has a specific duty to carry out, along with that duty, and whilst carrying out that duty, he also worships Allah all the time, without slackening. And the Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes two ayahs as evidence for that. يُسَبِّحُونَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ لَا يَفْتُرُونَ. Surah Al-Anbiya, the 21st surah, ayah 20. in the context of the angels, with the explanation, they declare the perfection of Allah night and day. They do not slacken. They don't slacken at all. And he quotes further two ayahs as evidence. عِبَادٌ مُكْرَمُونَ لَا يَسْبِقُونَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ وَهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِ يَعْمَلُونَ Surah Al-Anbiya, the 21st surah, ayahs 26 and 27. Again, with regard to the angels, with the explanation, the angels are honored servants. They do not precede him, they do not precede Allah with any saying. And they act upon his commands. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions, and they are of categories. I mean, angels have, there are different categories of angels. And from their categories are, then he goes on to mention, one of the main categories of the angels, the ones mentioned in the point of At-Tahawi. So he says, from their categories is Al-Hafadha, the guardian angels. Al-Hafadha. And he explains, who are these guardian angels? Who are the Hafadha? He said, they are the ones entrusted by Allah to guard the descendants of Adam and to record their deeds. In other words, he explains the two meanings of what a guardian angel means. They're a guardian for the sons of Adam in two senses. They guard and protect him by Allah's command, and they guard and they preserve and write down the deeds that he does. So it's in these two senses that they are guardian angels. They guard the person, and they guard and preserve and record his deeds. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, they are the ones entrusted by Allah to guard the descendants of Adam and to record their deeds. So every person, every single person from the descendants of Adam has four angels with him, guarding him throughout the night and the day. Every single one of us, our brothers, our sisters, every single one of us has four angels with us at all times. Four angels guarding him throughout the night and the day. Two guardian angels. Two angels there to guard him. Two guardian angels, one on the right and one on the left. In this sense, meaning the guardian angels in the sense of the ones who write down. The ones on your right and your left, the ones who write down the deeds. Salaam alaikum. So he starts by mentioning that you have two guardian angels, one on your right and one on your left. The one who is on the right writes down the good deeds, and the one who is on the left writes down the evil deeds. And whatever good deeds you do, the angel on your right writes it down. Whatever evil deeds you do, the angel on your left writes it down. Then he quotes the ayah, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ Surah Qaf, the 50th surah, ayah 18. With the explanation, the person does not utter any saying except that there is an observer ready with him. Meaning an angel ready to write it down. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so he's mentioned the two angels, the one on your right and the one on your left. Then he said, and two other angels are with you. One is in front of you. And one is in front of him, he said, and one is behind him, guarding him from attacks against him. For as long as Allah has written that he should remain. Then he quotes the ayah as evidence for that. لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ Surah Al-Ra'ad, the 13th surah, ayah 11. with the explanation there are angels guarding him in succession from in front of him and from behind him by Allah's command. I mean, there are angels by Allah's command appointed for each person who take turns in succession guarding him from in front and from behind. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, so the angels repel dangers from him, and then when his lifespan has been completed, they leave him. And then that which Allah has written for him befalls him. And when the person's come to the end of his lifespan, the angels leave him. Whatever end Allah has written for him comes to him. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, so we have iman in this. We truly believe in this. And if we do truly have iman in this, then we will feel shy of the honored angels. So therefore, we will not commit evil acts. And we will not speak futile words, since they will be written down against us. I mean, this iman in the angels, in the guardian angels that are with us, it should lead us to behave in this manner, that we don't commit evil actions because we know the angels will be there. We should feel shy of those angels, that they should see us committing those evil actions. And we should know that if we do, then the angel on our left will be writing the actions down against us. Then At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he moves on, still with regard to the angels, mentioning a further angel, or angels, with a different duty. So he said, وَنُؤْمِنُوا, point number 169, وَنُؤْمِنُوا بِمَلَكِ الْمَوْتِ الْمُوَكَّلِ بِقَبْضِ أَرْوَاحِ الْعَالَمِينَ. And we have iman in the angel of death, who is entrusted with taking the souls of the people. So this point is with regard to the Malakul Maut, the angel of death, the angel who takes your soul at the point of death. And he said, and we have iman, we truly believe, in the angel of death, who is entrusted with taking the souls of the people. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, mentioning an evidence for that, he said, he, the perfect, said, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَظَةً حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا. Suratul An'am, the 6th surah, ayah 61. With the explanation, he, Allah, is the invincible subduer above his servants, and he sends upon you guardian angels until when death comes to you, our messengers from the angels take his soul in death. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, explaining the ayah, because the ayah mentions Rusuluna, our messengers, that at the point of death, Allah mentions that the Rusul come to the person, messengers come to the person. So Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, meaning min al-malaika, I mean the messengers who come to you at death, mean from the angels. And then he makes the point, so the rusul, messengers, can be from the angels, and they can be from mankind. I mean, it's an explanation of this word, rusul, messengers. I mean, Allah sends messengers, rusul. Some he sends are from the angels, I mean the angels with the duties, like the angel of death that's being discussed here. And of course, messengers are sent, I mean messengers to mankind, I mean from the humans. I mean the sense in the ayah here, the rusul mentioned, are the messengers from the angels, as Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned. Then he mentions a further proof. Allahu yastafi min al-malaikati rusula. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ Surah Al-Hajj, the 22nd surah, ayah 75. A proof for that the term rusul, messengers, can be used for angels as well as mankind. With the explanation, Allah chooses messengers from the angels. Allah chooses messengers from the angels and from mankind. Then he mentions a further ayah with regard to the angels of death. تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّطُونَ Surah Al-An'am, the 6th surah, ayah 61. The same, a continuation of the ayah that was mentioned just before. Our messengers, with the explanation, our messengers take him, the person at the point of death, our messengers take him in death, and they are not negligent. Then he mentions a further ayah on the same point. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ يَتَوَفَّى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَضْرِبُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ Surah Al-Anfal, the 8th surah, ayah 50. With the explanation, and if only you could see, when the angels take the unbelievers in death, beating their faces and their backs. And he mentions a final ayah. He said, and he said in another ayah, يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ Surah Sajda, the 32nd surah, ayah 11. With the explanation, the angel of death takes their souls, or rather, the angel of death takes your souls in death. The angel of death takes your souls in death. Then Shaykh Al-Fawzan says, makes an important point. He says, so in some of the ayahs, death is ascribed to al-malaika, to the angels. I mean, taking the soul in death is ascribed to the angels. And in some ayahs, the death, I mean, taking the soul in death, is ascribed to a single angel. I mean, the ayahs that we just heard, some of the ayahs mention al-malaika, the plural angels taking the person's soul. And in others, like the last ayah from Surah Sajda, it mentions Malakul Maut, the angel, the singular angel of death. Then Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, so this shows that the angels have a leader who is the Malakul Maut. The angels have a leader who is the angel of death. And just as a side point, just as Shaykh Al-Fawzan has explained the point, then likewise the Salaf explained this same point and explained these ayahs in just the same way. And Ibn Jarir al-Tabari mentions in his tafsir from some of the Salaf, like Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, and Ibrahim al-Nakhai from his students, or from the Tabi'een, and likewise from Qatada from the Tabi'een, that they mention the meaning of these ayahs is that the angel of death has helpers from who are other angels who are his helpers. There's not just one, there's one angel of death who is the leader of other angels who are his helpers, who take the souls of people in death. So that's the explanation of the ayah, where it's mentioned in the singular, meaning the angel of death, the chief of the angels, of those angels. And where it's mentioned in the plural, meaning the angels who are his helpers. Then Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, moving on, he said, and as for the matter of death, then no one disputes about it. In the matter of people dying, no one disputes about that. And as for the angel of death and his assistants, then some of the descendants of Adam deny that. However, having iman in the angels is a fundamental, from the fundamental principles of Islam, and from the confirmed, or from the iman, which is confirmed in the book and the sunnah. So iman in the angels is a fundamental principle, from the fundamentals of Islam, and the fundamentals of iman, which are confirmed in the book and the sunnah. So therefore, whoever denies the existence of the angels in general, whoever says who doesn't believe in angels at all, or who denies a single particular angel, then he is a kafir, he is an unbeliever. If a person is in either of those two categories, he's a kafir. If he denies the angels altogether, he doesn't believe in angels whatsoever, he's a kafir. Or if he picks out one angel and doesn't believe in it, doesn't believe in that angel, then likewise he's an unbeliever. Sheikh Fawzan said, because he has denied a pillar from the pillars of Iman. And that's where Sheikh Fawzan ends explanation of this point. So both of these two points with regard to the angels. The first point from the two with regard to the guardian angels. And then this second point with regard to the angel of death. Then with regard, as a side point in addition, with regard to the angel of death, Malakul Maut, then Shaykh al-Albani mentioned, rahimahullah, Shaykh al-Albani mentioned in his notes, a small point, he said, that is his name in the Qur'an. I mean, the angel of death in the Qur'an is called Malakul Maut, the angel of death. And as for what is commonly widespread amongst the people, that they call the angel of death Azra'il, then there is no basis for that. Rather, it is from the Isra'iliyat. It's a story from the people of the book, something that's got no correct basis. I mean, the angel of death, his name is not, we don't take it to be, his name is Azra'il. Rather, we take his name to be what is mentioned in the Quran, Malakul Maut, the angel of death. And we leave it there. Then with regard to the next point that we'll take as the last point today, inshaAllah, then At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he moves on to another important matter from the matters of belief. He said, وَبِعَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ أَهْلًا وَسُؤَالِ مُنْكَرٍ وَنَكِيرٍ فِي قَبْرِهِ عَنْ رَبِّهِ وَدِينِهِ وَنَبِيِّهِ عَلَى مَا جَاءَتْ بِهِ الْأَخْبَارُ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَعَنْ الصَّحَابَةِ رِضْوَانُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ. He said, and in the punishment of the grave for those who are deserving of it. I mean, something else that we have to have iman in. And in the punishment of the grave for those who are deserving of it. And in munkar and nakir, questioning each person in his grave about his Lord, his religion, and his prophet, as occurs in the narrations from Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from the companions, may Allah be pleased with them. With regard to this point, so it's a point with regard to the punishment of the grave and the questioning in the grave by the two angels, Munkar and Nakir, as occurs in the authentic narrations, then Shaykh al-Fawzan said in his explanation, Shaykh al-Islam, meaning Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, of course, Shaykh al-Islam mentioned in Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah that Iman in the last day includes everything which occurs after death. With regard to punishment in the grave and bliss in the grave, and with regard to the resurrection, and with regard to the presentation of the records, Al-Ard, and with regard to the reckoning, Al-Hisab, and the weighing, or rather the scales, Al-Mizan, and the unrolling of the scrolls, and the paradise, and the fire. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah has mentioned that one of the pillars of Iman is having Iman in the last day. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah has mentioned that this covers, Iman in the last day covers all the things he just mentioned. All of these are a part of Iman in the last day. Belief in punishment of the grave everything that happens after death. Punishment in the grave, bliss in the grave, the resurrection, presenting of the records, the reckoning, the scales, the unrolling of the scrolls, and the paradise and the fire. And whoever denies anything from that, then he will not be a believer, he will not be a mu'min in the last day. In other words, it's not enough just for belief in the last day, that just a person believes after death is something, there's a life after death and that's it. No. And then denies any of these things. Rather, all of these things are essential for belief in the last day. As Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, so whoever denies anything from that, he will not be a believer in the last day. Then he said, Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, and as for the last day, Al-Yawmul Akhir, as for the last day, and whatever occurs in it, from the affairs of the hidden and the unseen, then we do not enter into that with our intellect and our thinking, I mean our own ideas. We don't start playing around with that with our own intellects and our own thinking. Rather, we only rely upon what occurs in the book and the sunnah. And we do not meddle in these affairs. And we do not speak about them except with a proof. Obviously meaning because they are affairs of the ghaib, the hidden and unseen, affairs that we cannot reach except through a text of the book or the sunnah. Then he said, referring to this specific point, point number 170, and the grave, al-qabr, the grave is a barzakh. The grave is an intermediate stage between this world and the hereafter. And the meaning of barzakh is a separation between two things. I mean, the grave is a barzakh, as occurs in the ayah that the Shaykh will mention. The grave is described as a barzakh. And then he said, in the language, the barzakh, it means a separation between two things. It's a place of separation, or period of separation, between this life and the next life. Then he quotes the ayah, وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ Surah Al-Mu'minun, the 23rd surah, ayah 100. With the explanation, and behind them there is a barrier right until the day when they will be resurrected. I mean, the people who have died, they have a barrier preventing them from coming back into this life. A barzakh, a separation or a barrier. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, so the grave, the qabr, the grave is a waiting place. And after it, the people will move on to the resurrection and the reckoning. So Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he mentions that the abodes, the places where the people live, the abodes are three. The first abode is Darul Dunya, is the abode of this world. And that is a place of action and earning, whether it be good or evil. The actual word in the printed text here is wal kasb min khayrin aw sharafin, which would be translated as that this abode, the abode of this world, is a place of action and of earning good deeds or nobility. And it seems, wallahu alam, there's a slight printing error, wallahu alam, it could be correct that way, that in this world a person earns good or nobility. But it seems more likely, wallahu alam, that there's a fa been put in which should not be there, and it should be min khayrin aw shar. That this world is an abode, is a place of action and of earning actions, whether good or evil. Wallahu alam. So that's the first abode, the abode of this world, which is a place of action And he mentions, Ibn Qayyim mentions the second abode, which is Dar al-Barzakh, the intermediate stage. And that is a temporary abode, meaning the grave, after a person's died and put in his grave. That's the second abode, second place he's going to live in. In the intermediate stage, which is a temporary abode. And therefore, those who say, Mathwahu al-Akhir, I've made a mistake. He mentions this phrase which people use in Arabic, and they also use the same phrase in English, when they talk about someone who's died, that they say he's gone to his final resting place. And Sheikh al-Fawzan said, this is a mistake. I mean, he's gone to his grave, he's been buried. This is a mistake. When you say about someone that he's been buried, that he's gone to his final resting place, this is wrong. Because the grave is not the final resting place. As Muslims, we believe the grave is not the final resting place, it's just a temporary passing stage. The final resting place is what comes next, which is the third abode. Darul Qarar, the abode of settling, the settling place. And that is paradise or the fire. One of those two, only one of those two. The final abode, the place of settling, is paradise or the fire. Then he quotes the ayah. وَإِنَّ الْآخِرَةَ هِيَ دَارُ الْقَرَارِ Surah Ghafir, the 40th surah, ayah 39. With the explanation, and the hereafter, that is the abode of remaining forever. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, discussing the matter of the grave, he said, so when the deceased is placed in his grave and he is buried and the people depart and leave him and he hears the sound of their footsteps as occurs in the hadith, then his soul is returned to his body. And this is an intermediate life. I mean, when the people have left him, after burying him, his soul is put back in his body. And he's now given life again. Hayatun barzakhiyya. A life in the intermediate stage. Which is known only to Allah. Is not known, this life of the intermediate stage, is not known except to Allah. And Allah has full power and ability over everything. So after his soul is returned to his body, and he is given life again, then two angels come to him and ask him three questions. Man Rabbuk, Wama Dinuk, Waman Nabiyuk. Who is your Lord? And what is your religion? And who was your prophet? In a footnote they mention, this occurs as part of the long hadith. They mention it's a hadith reported by Ahmad and Abu Dawood and Al-Hakim. And this hadith, a long hadith about what happens when the person is placed in his grave, is a long hadith declared sahih, authentic by Shaykh al-Albani, which mentions the coming of the two angels to him. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, they come and they ask the person in his grave, who is your Lord? And what is your religion? And who is your prophet? So if he gives a correct answer, then he will succeed and prosper. And his grave will become a garden from the gardens of paradise. And then on the day of resurrection, he will become an inhabitant of paradise, of Jannah. But if he fails in his answer and does not respond, then his grave will become a pit from the pits of the hellfire. And his grave will be crushed inwards upon him until his ribs cross over. Whereas the first person, I mean the person who gives the correct response to the angels, his grave is made spacious for him to such an extent that it's made as far, as wide as the eye can see. And a gate will be opened for him from paradise. And its breeze and fragrance will come to him. Whereas this one, the second one, the one who gives the wrong answer to the angels, he will be squashed in his grave until his ribs intertwine. And then a gate of the fire will be opened for him, so that its heat and its fiercely hot wind come upon him. Wal-iyadhu billah, and Allah's refuge is sought. So the correct answer, the correct response, is that by which Allah will make the person who says it firm, which is to say, Rabbi Allah, wa dini al-Islam, wa nabiyyi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The correct response in the grave is, my Lord is Allah. My religion is Islam, and my Prophet is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes the ayah, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Surah Ibrahim, the 14th surah, ayah 27. With the explanation, Allah will make firm those who have iman. Allah will make the believers firm with the firm saying in the life of this world and in the hereafter. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan finishes by saying, explaining why Allah makes the person firm in the grave, the believer makes the believer firm in the grave and gives him this correct answer. He says, this is because of his having iman in Allah and his messenger. It is not, the reason that a person in the grave gives the correct answer, that's the reason. Because before he had iman in Allah and his messenger. It is not on account of his having learnt it or gained it through intelligence. It's not enough that just a person reads it in a piece of a kafir, reads a piece of paper, reads what the answer is going to be, then in the grave he's learnt it so he can give the correct answer in the grave. No, not at all. He said a person giving a correct answer in the grave will not be from that. It won't be because he's learnt it or because he's gained it through some intelligence. He said, so whoever does not have iman, whoever does not have true faith, then he will stumble in answering. And that is the believer, that is the hypocrite. That is the hypocrite, the munafiq, who makes an outward show of iman in this world and hides unbelief. Then he will not be able to answer. He will say, ha, ha. He will say, oh, I don't know. I heard the people saying something, so I said it. Then he will be struck with an iron club and produce a sound which is heard by everything, except for mankind. And if mankind heard that, they would faint. وَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. The next part of the same ayah, Surah Ibrahim, the 14th surah, ayah 27, with the explanation, and Allah leads the wrongdoers astray, and Allah does whatever He wishes. The wrongdoing unbelievers in the grave, they will not be able to answer correctly. And that's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends explanation of this point. And the next point we shall leave till next time. Again, it does continue with regard to the affair of the grave. And just finally, as a couple of side points, Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, mentions in his small notes, with regard to this point here, وَبِعَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ أَهْلًا, and that we have iman in the punishment of the grave for those who are deserving of it. Shaykh al-Albani said, meaning the unbelievers, the kuffar, and the fussaq al-muslimin, and the sinful Muslims. The first of these is clearly and definitely stated in the texts of the Qur'an. I mean, the unbelievers being punished in the grave is clearly stated in the Qur'an. And the explainer of At-Tahawiyyah, Ibn Abil Izz, he mentions some of the ayahs which clearly show punishment in the grave. Amongst them, the ayahs with regard to the Fir'aun and his people, Surah Ghafir, the 40th surah, Ayahs 45 and 46 from Surah Ghafir, which mention clearly about the punishment of Fir'aun after death, in the grave, and then on the Day of Judgment as well. And also from Surah At-Tur, the 52nd surah, ayahs 45 to 47. That there is mentioned in these ayahs the punishment of the grave. So back to what Shaykh Albani mentioned, he said, so with regard to the punishment of the unbelievers in the grave, then this is clearly and definitely stated in the Qur'an. And as for the other affair, meaning the punishment of Muslims in the grave for certain sins, then that is stated in many ahadith, which reach the level of being mutawatir, as the explainer, Ibn Abil Izz, mentioned, and others as well. So it is obligatory to have belief, to have aqeedah in that. However, we do not delve into how it will be. How the punishment of the grave, how it is, how it happens, we don't delve into that. Since the intellect has no way to come across how it will be. And the texts of the legislation do not come with anything that is impossible in the intellect. However, they may come with something that cannot be comprehended by the intellect. It's an important principle that Shaykh Albani brings that some people don't understand, that the texts of Islam, the book and the sunnah, they never come with this, with something that's totally impossible in the intellect. That doesn't happen. However, they may mention something which can't be comprehended, can't be reached by our intellects. So he said, so therefore, it is obligatory to submit to that. Then he refers to the explanation of Ibn Abil Izz for some of those ahadith with regard to the punishment of the grave. And he said, and also you can refer to the book As-Sunnah of Ibn Abi Asim, hadith numbers 863 to 877. Then with regard to a final point, with regard to the narrations about the two angels who come and question the person in the grave. Then Shaykh Albani mentioned, this is something mutawatir, as we have just mentioned. The fact that they'll be questioning in the grave is also something reported in many, many narrations that reach the level of being mutawatir. Except for the naming of the two angels as Munkar and Nakir, then that occurs in a hadith whose chain of narration is Hasan, is good, which I've mentioned in As-Sahihah as hadith number 1391. The fact that they'll be questioning in the grave is mutawatir, there's so many hadith that mention that. But as for the actual names of those two angels, then that is not mutawatir, but it does occur in a hadith which is Hasan, which is good. A hadith reported by Tirmidhi, which mentioned the start of the wording, there's a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu an, who said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when the deceased is placed in his grave, or he said, when one of you is placed in his grave, two angels who are black with blue eyes come. One of them is called Al-Munkar, and the other one is called An-Nakir. So that hadith that's in At-Tirmidhi, and Shaykh Albani mentions the hadith is Hasan, it's good, actually names those two angels, Al-Munkar and An-Nakir. Alhamdulillah. And just as a final point, then the explainer, Ibn Abil Izz, then when he mentions the long hadith about the questioning in the grave, and then he makes the point, he says, and what is necessitated by this hadith, meaning belief in the punishment of the grave, this is held by all of the people of the sunnah and the hadith. All the people of sunnah and hadith agree with that. They hold that as their belief, that there'll be punishment in the grave. As a further side point, Abul Hasan al-Ash'ari, he mentions that the only ones who disagree about that were the Khawarij and some of the Mu'tazila. They disagree about punishment in the grave. As for the rest of the people of Islam, then they agree, they believe, they hold that as their belief. There'll be punishment, there'll be questioning and punishment in the grave. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? What occurs here, it mentions, he says, Ma'nabiyuk. As the brother just pointed out, as occurs in this word, as occurs in the book, when it mentions the three questions in the grave, as it occurs here, it's mentioned, Man Rabbuk, Wa Ma Dinuk, Wa Ma Nabiyuk. Who is your Lord, and what is your religion, and what is your Prophet? Wallahu a'lam. Allahu Akbar. With regard to the belief that the angels are on your shoulders or the light, Allahu Akbar. As Shaykh al-Fawzan said, these are matters of the hidden and the unseen, matters of the ghaib. Of the angels are here right now. With every brother and every sister, the angels are here. But we don't see them, we don't feel them, we don't feel them with our senses. So the only way for us to know about them is through the text of the book and the sunnah. So whatever occurs in the text and the book and the sunnah, then we affirm it. Whatever is in addition to that, for example, being on the shoulders or not, if it's not mentioned in a text, then we just keep quiet about it. Wallahu a'lam. One thing that Ibn Abi al-Iz mentions, and some of the Salaf mention, is the point, it's an important point, that the angels, they change over at the time of Fajr and at the time of Asr. The four angels who are with you in the night, they change over at Fajr time. And then the ones who are with you in the day, they change over in the evening, at the Asr time. They change over with the other four angels, and they take their place. So Ibn Abi al-Iz mentions that point, and it's a point mentioned from some of the Salaf, and they mention it from an authentic hadith reported by Muslim that mentions that point. A hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, Shaykh al-Albani mentions it's a hadith which is agreed upon. It's not just in Sahih Muslim. It's a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim, with the wording that the angels take turns with you. The angels of the night and the angels of the day take turns with you. I mean, take turns in guarding you. And they gather together at the dawn prayer, I mean the Fajr prayer, and at the Asr prayer. So the ones who are with you, they then ascend. And they ask them, or rather, and he asks them, Allah asks them, and Allah knows better. I mean, Allah asks them, but he already knows the answer. How have you left my servants? So they say, we came to them whilst they were praying, and we left them whilst they were praying. I mean, angels, they come to you at Fajr time, while you're praying the Fajr prayer. And then that's the angels of the day. Then they stay with you the whole day, guarding you until Asr prayer. And then the other angels come down and swap over. Then the angels of the night come to your Asr prayer. They come to you while you're praying. And they depart from you at the Fajr prayer. So that's why the angels give the answer to Allah the Most High, that we came to our servants when they were praying, and we left them while they were praying. Hadith reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim. I mean, the four angels, they come and they swap with the other four angels. No. With regard to what happens at the point of death, then it's found in the long hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhuma, the hadith that was indicated and reported by Abu Dawud, which is a long, long hadith, what happens when the person dies. That when the person dies, then how the angels take his soul. And if he's a believer, if he's a righteous person, the angels, they take his soul and they take him through the heavens and they put upon him shrouds and perfume, and they take him through the heavens, one heaven after the other. And the hadith is a long hadith. Until the point when it's the time for him to, when he's buried, that's when he dies, until it's when it's time for him to be buried, and he's buried, the people have buried him, and they've left him, then his soul is put back in his body. And then the angels come and question him. And likewise the long hadith mentions, as for the evildoer, the hypocrite and the unbeliever, then their soul is torn out of their body like an iron skewer. A hot iron skewer is pulled through wool. I mean, it has to be dragged out. It's dragged, the soul of the unbeliever is dragged from his body until it's dragged out. And then it's stinking and it's evil smelling. And the angels, they throw it in rough sackcloth, and they throw it, and it's refused entry through the heavens, and it's thrown back down, and so on, to the end of the hadith. And then he's questioned in his grave. Alhamdulillah. Sheikh Albani, obviously, he brings the hadith in his book, Ahkam al-Janaiz. He gathers the different wordings of the hadith, all in one long narration. You can find the hadith. The hadith has been translated as well. And the basis of the hadith occurs in Abu Dawud. With regard to the crushing in the grave, as for what the Sheikh mentioned with regard to the unbelievers, that in their grave they're tortured and tormented, and their ribs are made to crush over, and their torment continues in the grave. But as for the believers, then no doubt there's the authentic narration. In fact, there's a number of authentic narrations that even the believers, when they're first put in their grave, then the grave is made to squash them. The grave squashes even the believer initially, and then it relaxes. There's likewise a hadith of Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, that even he, the like of him, even he was squashed in his grave. Even that righteous, noble righteous companion, the authentic narration mentions, even he was squashed in his grave. And then he released. So it's part of our belief that the believer, even the believer, is, when he's first put in his grave, then the grave is made to squash him, and then he's released. Allahu Akbar. There's a number of narrations which Sheikh Albani, rahimahullah, declares authentic in that regard. With the word, indeed there is a crushing for the grave. And other wordings as well. As for the unbeliever in his grave, then a gate is open to the fire, so the heat of it comes to him, and also the wind of it, the breathing wind, the fierce breathing out of the fire, the wind of the fire. Likewise, some of the people of knowledge, they mention, what about a person who is not buried? For example, he dies in an explosion, and his body is scattered all over the place, or somebody is burnt, or somebody drowns in the sea. And the people of knowledge, they mention that the grave, the punishment of the grave, it applies to them as well. The punishment of the grave, it still applies to them. And a primary evidence for that is the ayah with regard to Fir'aun. As Fir'aun was drowned in the ocean, and then his body was preserved. He wasn't buried at that time in a grave, and yet still the ayah refers to punishment to the grave for Fir'aun and his people, those who were drowned in the sea. So punishment to the grave still applies. And as Shaykh Fawzan mentioned, how? Allahu A'lam. How and so on. We don't know how, but it happens to them. With regard to affairs, as we mentioned before, with regard to affairs of the soul, then we know very little of the affairs of the soul. And amongst those who have spoken about the affairs of the soul is Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah. And he mentions that with regard to people in their graves, he mentions in his book Ar-Ruh and elsewhere, he mentions that as for the soul that we know very little about, we know only about the soul that which occurs in text. He mentioned that when people are alive, then the soul is very, very has a very strong connection with the body. But when you're alive, your soul is basically where your body is, very strongly. When you sleep, that connection is released. It's relaxed. So when you sleep, and sleep being a minor form of death, then the soul is released to some extent. But it still has a very quite a strong relation to the body, to the extent, as Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah also mentioned, that when you wake a person who's sleeping, very quickly he awakes, his soul is returned very quickly to him. But when a person dies, there's still a connection with his body, but that connection is even weaker. There's a very weak connection with his body. So they mention, as is shown by the authentic narrations, that the souls of martyrs or the souls of the believers will be in green birds in paradise. I mean, but still having a connection with the bodies, a weak connection. And beyond that, Allahu A'lam. Allahu A'lam. Allahu A'lam. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakallahu khairan.